ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Wish the bowl game had a better outcome, but when you play a first half that poorly, you know, it's hard to win. And they looked a lot better in the second half. We'll get into some of that stuff here in a minute. But when you look that bad in the first half and go in the locker room down 20 points, then it's hard to win a football game. So I think you saw that pretty much play out in the Cure Bowl. But beyond that, doing good. I'm excited about the new coach. We'll get into that stuff also. Clint Trickett over as the offensive coordinator as well is big news. So a lot of fun stuff going on with the team. Some more portal activity we'll get into also. But we'll start with the bowl game. And yeah, Ohio 30, Jack State 27. And just first half, played really poorly. You know, went down 27-7 locker room, and we said on the pregame that it was going to be hard to run the ball, or at least if Jack State couldn't run the ball, it'd be hard for them to move the football. And I mean, they ran the ball for 42 yards as a team, which is an incredibly low number for anybody, much less a team that was second in the country in rushing. So that Ohio defense is for real. They played really, really good. They held Trey Stewart to 35 yards. Tyler Huff had one net yard. He got sacked several times. So that's where you get the 1 yard there for him. So it was really tough for Jack to run the football, and that's ultimately what hurt them so bad in the first half. Now, Huff did throw the ball for 364 yards, which is far and away the most he's thrown for all season. So that's how Jack was able to move the ball in the second half. He seemed to go to the locker room, and I think Rod Smith came up with a really good game plan for the second half to move the football, and they were able to put up 20 points, but it was too little too late. The defense played much better in the second half. I think the offense moving the ball and giving them time to rest between drives had a lot to do with that. But it was the Cam Vaughn and Jared Bowie show. Cam Vaughn had 10 catches for 184, and Jared Bowie had 4 for 105. So those two guys had really big games catching the football for Jack State, and that's what kept them in it in the second half, and sort of the comeback came from. But like I said, it was a little bit too little too late. And if you heard us on the pregame, we said if they can slow Coleman Owen down, they're going to have success, and they didn't. Coleman Owen for Ohio had 11 catches for 140 yards. Most of that came in the first half, but he was all over the field for Ohio making plays, and that hurt him really bad, especially in the first half. But a poor first half for JSU, and then shot themselves in the foot a lot in the second half with penalties. Fred Perry had a personal foul that really hurt the defense when they had Ohio pinned back late in the second half. I think they were down 7 when that happened. They were right about to get back in it and maybe tie the game. And he had a really, really bad penalty. Tyler Huff threw a bad pick in the red zone that cost Jack State 3 or 7 points there in the second half also. So things like that hurt him in the second half. And that, you know, compounded with the poor first half is what lost this game. I think they're a better team than Ohio. I think we saw that in the second half with how they were able to perform. But going to the locker room down 20 and you know, unfair mistakes or inexcusable mistakes in the second half is what cost them this game. For a lot of times in the second half, it looked like a rerun of the New Orleans Bowl from 2023, where they played poorly in the first quarter of that game, spotted Louisiana 21 points, came back and won. That's what this looked a lot like for a lot of the second half, but they just could not just pull within 3 points there until late, and it was just another time ran out pretty much on Jack State. So coach leaving has a lot to do with that, I think. Seemed like the game plan to start the game wasn't where it needed to be, and the execution was certainly not where it needed to be. But either way, great year. Conference championship. They beat all the conference teams on their schedule. The only team they didn't see was UTEP, who they would have certainly beaten also. So certainly the best team in the Conference USA this year, got their conference championship to show for it. Great year, just a little bit of a sour end. But Brooks, what do you think about the Cure Bowl and that kind of thing?
Yeah. First of all, let me go ahead and say I apologize if I sound a little cruddy. I've been under the weather for the last few days, but yeah, just a sour end to a rather, you know, a historic season. You know, our second season in FBS, our first year eligible to win the conference championship, and we win the dang thing. And you know, for this to, I don't think this is how the season will be remembered, by any stretch of the imagination. I think it, no matter what, we're always going to look back on 2024 and remember it as the year we won Conference USA. But you know, credit to Ohio. They came out. They were prepared. They had a really good game plan for us. They knew what to expect from us and the weapons that we had, and they forced us to do things that, you know, we didn't normally do. And I kind of said, you know, I said in the preview episode, it's going to come down to who does things different, you know, does things differently the best, or what does the things that they're, you know, not normally accustomed to the best and the most efficient. And they forced us to do that. You know, we are very much a, you know, a speed option, a read option team, and Huff and Trey Stewart just could not get anything going on the ground. Combined for 34 yards, 36 yards total, 35 of them coming for Trey Stewart, who was the, you know, the third leading rusher, number three in rushing yards in the country. So, you know, he had the two touchdowns, yes, but like I said, you know, they prepared well for us. They forced us to move the ball through the air, and I thought Huff didn't have a terrible day passing the ball. First half was certainly a little shaky. He just didn't look confident in his step through. He didn't look there in the first half. It definitely took the second half adjustments by Rod Smith to kind of get him woken up and start really looking for Cam Vaughn and Gerard Bowie. Yes, Vaughn had the one really long 75-yard touchdown pass, but you know, he just kept getting the ball after that, along with, like I said, Gerard Bowie, Brock Recksteiner, and a little bit of Jordan McCants. But goodness, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's like you said, Drew. It's we made the second half adjustments, but just it ended up being too little, too late. Ohio, they smothered our run game. When you become one dimensional, it's hard to win football games. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just plain and simple. It was another one of those games where, you know, it seemed like we were taking one step forward and two steps back. Every time we could get a stop, we could get a stop or a turnover, we give them the ball right back, or you know, we get a score, we give it right back, and just never really could, you know, we had spurts of momentum throughout the game, but never really could get anything to just set us apart and really go on a run. I thought, anyways, you know. We won the second half 20-3, but you know, just what didn't have enough in the tank. And like I said, credit to Ohio, they got a talented football team. Parker Navarro is a stud at quarterback. Anthony Tyus had 104 yards. He's a pretty stout running back. And we talked all day on the preview episode about limiting Coleman Owen. And that might be the difference in the game, and we couldn't do it. So, you know, so disappointing ending, no doubt about it. Not going to sugarcoat it. And there were some other outside factors that kind of affected it, particularly in the coaching carousel. Rumors were floating around during the game about, who we might get to be our new head coach. So that kind of was taking everybody's mind off of it a little bit, but and we'll get into that. And then the transfer portal too. Some guys entered the portal but still played. Some guys didn't. So I mean, it was just there was a lot of outside factors that were affecting this one. I'm not saying if we didn't have all those that we still would have won. I think we are a more talent I think we are a better football team all around, but I don't know. This is another one. I kind of wish we could play it again and get a, you know, maybe get off to a better start, but you know, that's football. You know, you get one shot at them, and if you don't take advantage, you don't win, and we didn't. But nonetheless, absolutely great season, 9 wins, conference championship, after starting off 0-3, did not see this in the future for us at all. So, I'm very proud of the way we finished. Wish we could have got the bowl win, but you know, this is going to happen. This is a good football team and that we lost to, and this is a good football team, you know, that we are. So, yeah, not too disappointed, but a sour note for sure.
Yeah. We'll wash ourselves of it and move on. This team's going to look very, very different, next year, for a multitude of reasons, but, this particular group, is going to not be forgotten for a very long time for Jack State. As poorly as they started and as good as they were at the middle of the year, winning the conference, they did a lot of really, really good things. It'll be their first ever, obviously, Division I A FBS conference championship, and it'll be this group who won that. It always will be. So a lot of things to be proud of, but a little bit of a sour end. Either way, if you've lived under a rock for the past week, Jack State has hired a new head coach, Charles Kelly. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He played defensive back at Auburn from 86 to 89, and he has coached in a wide multitude of places. He's been everywhere. He was at Jacksonville State from 94 through 98. He was a running backs coach, a DB coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator at different times. So he did a lot of things at Jack State in the late 90s or the mid 90s and the late 90s. So he's certainly familiar with the program, which is really, really good. And since then, he's been at Nicholls State, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Tennessee, Alabama, Colorado, and most recently, he was the co-defensive coordinator of Auburn this year. And I know Auburn as a whole did not have a great year, but their defense was very good. So a couple things. They're getting an extremely experienced head coach. He's 57 years old, and like I just said, he's been all over the place. And he's coached consistently from 1990 through basically 2024 at this point. So the experience level is certainly there. He is a high-level recruiter. Coming from places like Florida State, he was the special teams and linebacker coach on that national championship team there for Florida State. He was the defensive coordinator from 2014 to 2017 at Florida State. Same position at Alabama and Colorado and Auburn since then. So high-level recruiter, high-level of experience. I, for one, am happy with it. Kind of like we said on Twitter a couple times, you know, Greg Sites is 3 for his last 3. He has not missed, you know, Bill Clark, John Gross, and now Rich Rod. There's no reason to think that Charles Kelly will be any different. Maybe not the sexiest hire in the world as far as it's not a huge name, but I think it's a guy who really wants to be here, really wants a job, is going to, you know, love Jack State and do his best. And if he can recruit like he does, I'm not saying he's going to get the same caliber of athlete that he would get at Auburn or Alabama or Florida State, but if he can recruit with the same talent level as far as in the conference compared to everybody else, I think that's going to be a huge win. So I'm very excited about Charles Kelly. As far as my opinion goes, I think this is a really good hire. There were a lot of other names that floated around, you know, Neil Brown and Cadillac Williams and names like that that didn't happen. We've talked about Bill Clark extensively and what happened with him. And like Brooke said, it got leaked during the middle of the game, which was a little bit strange. We heard about it right at kickoff, actually. I got a message from, I'm just going to say my people that are close to the program, and I've held off. We didn't say anything on Twitter because we were going to let, you know, focus on the game. That was what was important for that period of time. And I think Auburn was the first kind of leak that came out middle of the second quarter or so, maybe. And then it was, you know, kind of all hands on deck after that with the news. So weird time for it to get announced, which I don't think that was Greg Sites or Jack State's, you know, intention that it get announced during the bowl game. That's kind of what happened, which was really weird. They talked about, you know, Rod Smith and him wanting the job on the, if you guys went back and those that were there with us went back and watched ESPN broadcast, you know, Rod Smith, they talked about how he wanted the Jack State job. And when they said that, we already knew that he wasn't going to get it. So that was strange anyway. So weird timing that it happened during the middle of the game, but I don't think that was Jack State's intention. That's just kind of how it happened. And I think Auburn had a lot to do with that. But as far as I'm concerned, I think this is going to be a good hire. Like I said, big time coordinator. I think the defense is going to play really well under him. I don't know what this means for Luke Olsen's future. I don't know if he was going to be a position coach kind of guy, or maybe he'll still carry the defensive coordinator tag. But I would imagine that Charles Kelly at least will have a lot to do with the defense, and he may call the plays. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't think anybody does just yet. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens there. But the Jack State defense, you know, they struggled to start the year. They got a lot better as the season went on. But I think this will take them to another level, and they will hopefully perform a lot like what we saw in 2023 under Zach Alley, where they were an outstanding defense. So that I'm really excited about. And again, the recruitment level that Charles Kelly has shown is off the charts, which is another great thing. And he did have a meeting with the team. And I think Rod McDowell posted on Twitter about the team was ready to run through a wall for him already, which is really good. So right now, all is good. Very happy with Charles Kelly. I'll let Brooks say a few words about him, then we'll move on to Clint Trickett and the offensive side of that. But Brooks, tell us about Charles, and what are your thoughts about Coach Kelly?
Yeah, I honestly like him. He's not one, though, that I really had on my radar, not necessarily because I didn't think, you know, he wasn't worthy of the job or anything like that. I know, you know, there are some people online that are not happy with this hire at all. But like you said, until Greg Sites has a miss, I'm trusting every move that he makes. You know, not even just in football. I mean, he hired Ray Harper, who took us to two NCAA tournaments that we've never been to. I think Steve Mazur's going to be a good baseball coach. So I brought Rich Rod here, and the success that he's had is nothing short of phenomenal. He just wasn't on the short list of names that I was kind of thinking of. I really thought they would go more, really push for, you know, a Zach Alley or a Skip Holtz or Tom Bates, some of the names that, you know, we kind of threw out. But I think this is a good hire. He's been at Jack State towards the end of Coach Burgess, around start of Mike Williams, when he was here or when they were here. So he knows the expectation level of Jack State football, what we expect to see and how we expect to win at a high level. But even you know, beyond that, the guy's been at, like you said, been at several high level programs, power four programs, with Tech, Florida State, Tennessee, Alabama, Colorado, Auburn. And not only that, he's been part of two national championship teams, one with Alabama and another with in 2020, and another with Florida State in 2013. So, I mean, the guy understands, you know, the importance of winning and the importance of winning at a high level. And he's carried it with him everywhere he's been. So I think, you know, that expectation is going to carry over into Jacksonville. Like you said, the players seem to, what's left of them, seem to really, really like him, got a really good first impression from him. Want to run through a wall for him. It's just going to be interesting to see who he's able to bring in on a fairly short notice. I know the transfer portal is still open, and, you know, he just got hired, and he's going to have to go to work, you know, right now trying to get guys in. You know, we lost pretty much our entire starting defense to either graduation or the transfer portal this year. So, I mean, we're really going to – he's going to have to work, and he's going to have to get after it and get after it soon. But, I trust his judgment. I trust Greg Sites' judgment. He hasn't missed yet. It's hard to argue and say this is a bad hire when he hasn't missed yet. You know, regardless of what you think of Sites, you know, everything that he's been able to do, everything that he's been able to do since he's been hired on as AD has been nothing short of beneficial, or phenomenally beneficial for JSU and JSU athletics. So I'm all in on it. Obviously, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to wait and reserve our full judgment until we kick off next year against, do we open with Georgia Southern?
UCF.
Still, we open with UCF in Orlando. But, and you know, to kind of segue into the segue into our next segment, it's going to be that's something else. This is going to be a completely different looking team, both on on the coaching staff and on the field. We've lost, you know, like I said, pretty much our entire starting defense and a few guys on offense. So, it was big to get some of these guys in the bowl game, but it's going to be a brand new, it's going to be a brand new team. Most notably to me, I think the big one that I hated to lose was Zion Turner. I was really excited to kind of see what he would have done in this system. Obviously, and he may be a system quarterback. He may be in a, and it may just not fit what Clint Trickett is wanting to run. excuse me, goodness. And if that's the case, I don't necessarily blame the kid, but I really would have. I was really excited to get to see him next year after. You know, after sitting on the bench for a full year and kind of getting that experience, that learning experience, that development in practice and off the field. So I really hate to lose him. But so now the next question is, you know, who do we get at quarterback? As of right now, we don't have anybody signed. We don't have anybody signed, and we don't have anybody committed or anything. So. If I had to guess, Kelly's probably going to want to get somebody else out of the portal. Drew, is there anybody that you can think of that we might could get out of the portal? I know Veltkamp transferred.
Yeah, I think Veltkamp was what was on everyone's minds to start with, you know, once Clint Trickett was hired. So I could throw some names out there, but it would have no it wouldn't come from anywhere. It's just names that are in the portal that might fit the system Clint's going to run. Now, we don't know what it exactly will look like. And we're going to, before we get into all that, a little bit about Clint Trickett. So he is Rick Trickett's son. And we retained him also in the offensive line, which was really, really big. And he's one of, if not the best offensive line coaches in the country. So be able to retain him was great. And then now his son will act as the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. So he has both of those titles. Most people know him from Last Chance U. He was quarterback coach for East Mississippi from 2015 to 2016 on the little Netflix show. Since then, he's been at FAU, Marshall, Georgia Southern, now Jack State. And at all those places, he was the offensive coordinator or the co-offensive coordinator at each of those places. So, again, pretty good experience, at least for the last, about a decade or so. And it makes me feel really old. I remember watching him play. At West Virginia, he opened as the quarterback when Alabama played West Virginia to start the season 1 year in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game or whatever it was back then. So I feel old that he's the offensive coordinator at Jack State. Now I remember him playing quarterback at West Virginia, but either way, I'm excited to have him. Also, the system is we're gonna throw the ball a lot more next year. I think we all know that, but it's kind of going to depend on personnel, what they have, what it will look like, because. It's not going to look like the air raid that Marshall runs right now, and it's not going to look like the speed option that Georgia Southern runs right now. It's going to be something in the middle. It'll probably look a lot like the offense did when Eli was there, where they're going to throw it half the time and run it half the time, a lot of spread stuff. And it'll just kind of depend on who the quarterback is, whether or not the quarterback mix in with a running game or not. If we get a guy like Caden Veltkamp, who's going to throw it a lot more than he's going to run it, then you're going to see that. And if we get a guy who can run it, we're going to see that happen, I think. We talked about Zion Turner a minute ago, and I think a lot of the what had to do with his departure and when he entered the portal was I don't think that he thinks he's going to fit the offense. because Zion Turner is a run first quarterback. He would have fit, you know, Rich Rod's offense a lot. And we would have, you know, he certainly would have been quarterback one to start the year next year, unless we found another Tyler Huff in the portal, which is unfortunately not real likely we get someone of that talent level. But whoever's going to play quarterback, the offense is going to fit around him. I think right now, Caden Creel, Greg Jones, and AJ Watkins are all on the roster at quarterback. Caden Creel, I think he's more of a runner. Greg Jones, probably more of a passer. So, we'll just kind of see what it's going to look like. And again, I don't know if any of those three guys are going to be the starter against UCF in Orlando. Maybe they get someone out of the portal and start there. But it'll just depend on personnel, what the offense looks like. But excited about Clint Trickett. Excited about what the offense will look like. And, of course, excited about what the defense will look like with Charles Kelly at the helm. I'm just excited for next year. Team's going to look very, very different. But if those guys can have good portal cycles and recruit to their level, I think this team will be very, very good and will be right in contention to win the conference again next year. Speaking of portal cycles, we tweeted out a big, long list of people. We're going to read through some of those right now just to get an idea of who we have lost up to this point. It's a lot of names on defense. You know, we talked about a few of these already. You know, Zechariah Poyser has already committed to Miami. Reggie Hughes is already committed to Colorado. Everyone else is still in the portal. Everyone else being Jared Bowie, Cam Vaughn, Zion Turner. Those are your three biggest names on the offensive side of the football. And Jared Bowie and Cam Vaughn, I'm not going to sit here and say they can't come back. You know, we saw Ron Wiggins do it last year. You know, Jared Bowie or Cam Vaughn could absolutely come back if they don't get the NIL money that they think they're going to get, or if they maybe don't think they're going to get the playing time that they were going to get at Jack State. Those guys could come back. You know, Cam Vaughn had a huge season and a huge bowl game. He is a big time wide receiver, and he is probably a guy who could go play somewhere else and get a lot of playing time. So same goes for Jared Bowie. We didn't see him a lot of Jared Bowie during the regular season. We saw him here and there, but he had a huge bowl game. So I'm not going to say that those two guys are gone forever. It typically is what them entering the portal means, but we'll have to wait and see. Beyond that, a lot of defense here. Fred Davis, Fred Perry, Jabril Alameen, Jabari Mack, Derek Carter, Austin Ambush, and T. Denson, and Jameer Latimer, all from the defensive side of the football. All of those guys played meaningful snaps. I think they're all starters except for T. Denson, quite honestly, and maybe Austin Ambush. So the defense lost a lot, which is why I was really happy with the Charles Kelly signing, because that's going to fix that issue, I think. When you get a guy with Charles Kelly's reputation and his ability to recruit, he's going to be able to build that defense back up the way that he wants to. And I think you're going to see a lot of those high-level athletes get replaced out of the portal. So really excited about that. And then some other names, you know, Tayshaun Smoot, who was the, I don't know, third, fourth, or fifth quarterback on roster, depending on who you ask. Colin Westfelt, long snapper. Jacob Barrick, who was our second tight end, who was more of a blocking tight end all year, but saw a lot of passes at the end of the year go his way. And he's committed to West Virginia. So, you know, we thought we'd see some of these guys go to West Virginia. Well, the first one has, it's Jacob Barrick. And maybe that's Rich Rod trying to go ahead and installing his system for the Mountaineers, because Jacob Barrick's a really good blocking tight end, and he can also catch the ball, which we saw as the year went on. And then Tavarius Dawson, who was – fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth wide receiver, depending on who you ask, has entered also. So that's a lot of names. That's 13 or 14 names already that we know of, and most of those guys are playmakers. So this team's going to have some work done, especially defensively, and I think Charles Kelly is the man for the job. And then we talked about this several weeks ago, maybe several months ago at this point. But the recruiting class, at least from the high school standpoint, as of now, is DJ Vinson, wide receiver. He's a three-star. Macklin Sanders, a linebacker. He's a three-star. Have both committed, as well as Manny Watkins and McCade Wright, safety and edge there. Both three-stars. So those are four three-star defenders that have already committed. I would assume most, if not all of those, will wear a red shirt next year. Maybe, maybe not. And then beyond that, Lucas Farrington and Blake Wallace, a running back and a wide receiver, have committed. And then Lance Johnson and Luke Reynolds, who were not rated according to 24/7 Sports, which I believe that means they're not three-star recruits, those two guys, but they have also committed or signed. And then the only name that 24/7 had that was not a signee was Jamarian Bennett, who's a safety, and they had him as a hard commit. So the reason I read you those lists, that's the same list plus Jamarian Bennett that Jack State posted on signing day or early signing day. So the only name that Jack State posted that's not on that list is Markavian Blake. So I believe that's the only guy that we have lost so far due to Rich Rod leaving, which is a really good thing that we've kept. What is that? 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9 of those names. So I'm sure you guys saw those on early signing day. You know, Jack State had a little tweet about each guy, but as according to On3 and 24/7, all of those guys are still with us. They're all still signees except for Markavian Blake, who I've not heard anything from, but you know, Jack State did tweet that he signed on signing day and he is not listed on On3 or 24/7. So I would imagine that would mean that he has decommitted. But you only have one guy decommit out of the guys that committed with a coaching change is a really good thing. So I know McCade Wright was a guy everyone was really excited about when we got him, big time pass rusher there. So those are your nine commits as of now. Jack State has still not had anyone commit out of the portal, although we expect that to change as early as right now. You know, kind of any minute they could, starting tomorrow throughout the week, I'm sure hopefully we'll see a few names there signed with Jack State because Charles Kelly can actually really get started recruiting and get visits in and that kind of thing. I know Rich Rod, there were visits in before he left from the portal. So just because you haven't seen Jack State sign anybody yet, and a lot of teams have, doesn't mean they're not going to sign anybody. It just means they haven't signed anybody yet. And a lot of that has to do with the coaching change. So hopefully that will change as early as, like I said, this week. You'll see a few names come in. So that's the new class right now. It's only nine people, the same nine that you heard of, minus Markavian Blake, who we believe has decommitted. But I'm sure that list will get longer and longer as the year goes on. Thoughts on that, Brooks? I know you talked about, you know, wishing the coaching change maybe happened sooner rather than when it did to get the portal cycle. Maybe we'd have recruits in already or commits in already had the coaching change happened, you know, right after the conference title game before the bowl game, but that's not what happened. But thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the approach is if, you know, how many kids we get to sign on the, in the second signing day, as opposed to how many we'd take out of the portal, especially and to what positions we get. Like I said, I would imagine we're going to try and get a quarterback. We're going to try and get a quarterback out of the portal, at least one. Probably get another receiver or two. I think we're going to be all right at receiver, especially if we can get Brandon Spector to eligible to play one more year, since he got hurt before the start of the season and never got to see the field. A lot of expectations for him, a lot of excitement around him. So hopefully they can work something out for him to get to play in 2025. Definitely going to need defensive backs. Definitely going to need linebackers. We got a edge rusher, like you said, edge rusher and Cade Wright that a lot of people are really excited about. Macklin Sanders, and Manny Watkins and Luke Reynolds and Jamarian Bennett in the at safety. But there's a lot of holes to fill right now, and it's gonna. You know, this is going to be a completely different Jack State team next year, and it's going to take a lot of adjusting to a lot of getting used to, and a lot of adjustment. And I'm really excited to see what it looks like. You know, like you said, Drew, I'm kind of glad we got a defensive cap because we're gonna need a guy with this kind of, with his level of defensive expertise to, you know, try and whip these guys into shape pretty quick. because it's all going to be brand new. It's all going to be a completely different system, and you know, offense is going to be pretty, kind of the same situation with Clint Trickett coming in. You know, I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure what kind of offense he runs, but you know, I would imagine it's not going to be what we've seen out of Rich Rod, speed option, where you know, quarterback and starting running back are getting 45 yard or 45 carries each per game. So it's just it's going to be different. It's going to be different, no doubt.
Also, you know, Marshall had so many people leave the portal or enter the portal they couldn't play their bowl game. And Clint Trickett was the offensive coordinator from 2022 to 2023 at Marshall. So I would imagine you might see one or two of those guys come to Jack State, yeah, at least from the offense. I think if you don't see anyone from Marshall come to Jack State, maybe that – I don't want to say that's not a good thing, but maybe it's not a good thing. I have faith in Clint Trickett, especially, you know, with his dad coaching the offensive line. I think it's going to be a big help. But I would hope you'd see, you know, a couple of those, I don't know, it was 25 or 30 people that entered from Marshall, you know, come to Jack State. And if you don't see anybody, then I guess, you know, you'll take that to mean however you want it to. But I think those, you know, of where you're going to see portal guys come from, I think Marshall's a school you might see a couple sign from, since they had so many leave so quickly. And I know they don't have homes yet. So something to think about is that we do have some familiarity with Marshall now that Clint Trickett's here, and you could see some names kind of filter towards Jack State from that side. Just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's very much a possibility. Get some of those kids from Marshall and some of the names that are more familiar with him. But you know, like I keep saying, it's going to be different. Everything's going to be different from the offense to the coaching staff to the offense to the coaching staff to the defense. The only real similarity to last year, to this past season, is really Rick Trickett. And I think to get to hold on to him is an absolute blessing. Especially that'll help. I think that'll help keep Will Osteen and some other pretty stout offensive linemen here. Obviously, we know Clay Webb is graduating and more than likely going to get drafted in the NFL. I feel comfortable on that, and I think the Trickett father son duo is going to be a successful one. For hopefully more than 3 years, three more years. So, I'm excited about it. I like everything that's coming with, the new coaching staff with the new, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, but you know, I'm not putting blind faith into Greg Sites, but the guy's got a good track record of, you know, picking good head coaches and, you know, letting the results speak for themselves. And, you know, giving the coaches every, you know, possible resource to be successful. And, you know, like you said, he's 3 for 3. So there's no reason not to trust him I bet I sound awful. There's no reason not to trust him. There's no reason not to, you know, at least give him a chance. At least give him, you know, give him a shot, and you know, remember that, you know, this is his first head coaching job. So there's going to be some ups and downs. There are going to be some ebbs and flows, and that's just part of it. Don't let the expectation of what Rich Rod did, kind of run Rich Rod. Charles Kelly is not Rich Rod. Don't let the expectation of what Rich Rod did in his first season, his first two, well, three seasons, you know, necessarily dictate your judgment of Charles Kelly. I think, you know, I think he's going to be successful, but it may not be, it may not look exactly like what we want it to look like.
I agree. As far as this team, you know, may not go undefeated in conference play next year or one loss in conference play next year and win the conference championship game. But over the course of Charles Kelly's tenure at Jack State, I think you will see that. Like you said, you're not going to put blind faith in Greg Sites, but at this point, he hasn't given you a reason not to, quite honestly. So we'll see what it looks like, you know, to start the year next year in Orlando against UCF. But there's a lot of pieces to solve. Most importantly, you know, your 7 of your starting 11 defenders left the portal, and then you know you had guys like J-Rock graduate. So you're almost replacing a full defense. You're replacing a quarterback and a running back duo that set records. You're replacing your number one wide receiver. You're replacing an offensive lineman in Clay Webb that's going to get drafted. There's a lot to replace. And I think Greg Sites has done his best to put people in place that can do that. And maybe it will happen to start the year next year. Maybe it won't, but kind of channeling your expectations as far as if they go down to Orlando and get beat by 30, it's not because Charles Kelly doesn't know what he's doing. It's because he was, you know, given a team that had a lot of pieces to fix. So we'll leave it there. Again, we both have faith in what Charles Kelly is going to do for us. I think this team will be successful. I think they can compete for the conference next year. It's going to boil down to what they can do in the portal, what they can do in recruiting, and trying to replace some of those pieces that have left. So beyond that, we will start to wrap it up, but we do want to talk a little bit about what the off season will look like with us. We're not taking a break. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to upload twice a week like we have been doing. It's going to be more of a twice a month or once a month kind of thing, whenever the news presents itself. But we do have some fun things planned, like we said a few episodes ago, whether that's player interviews, which we have lined up, and we might do some interviews with some different podcasts around the conference. We're excited about both of those two things. And then, of course, we'll have a nice, you know, little postseason wrap-up for you next. And we'll give out our season awards. A lot of those are going to go to Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart. So you know that already. but we have some, hopefully, that you guys don't know. But we're going to do some of that stuff on our next episode. And then, like I said, player interviews, you know, interviews with our podcasts, hopefully, with different teams in the conference to get caught up with them. I know Delaware, Missouri State are two that we really want to do since they're entering the conference next year. And we sit in a very unique position because we were Delaware. We were Missouri State, you know, last year, basically. So we like to talk to those guys and see what their viewpoints are. So we're going to hopefully get that lined up for you guys also. But beyond that, I think we've ran it dry for today. Like I said, sour note to end the year, but a historic year for Jack State football, a year to build on, and a new coach in the door, a new coordinator in the door to carry the banner from here on out. So I'm excited about those two guys and just excited where the program is and what it's going to be going forward. But I'll let Brooks give us the outro, and we'll see you guys in about a week and wrap the season up and give out awards and all that fun stuff. So anyway.
Yeah. I'll try to get through this. Again, I apologize if I sound like death and destruction. It's because I kind of do. But, sour note to end the season, absolutely. But this is, you know, this has been a historic season. There's no doubt about it. There's just been a lot of outside factors that have been that kind of got in the way of the momentum of the bowl game, and that kind of it was a weird bowl season for sure. Something that I don't think we're going to be encountering. Something that I don't think we will encounter, you know, every 3 to 4 years. Hopefully not. Anyways, there's certainly not every year where we're scrambling to find a new head coach and completely rebuilding our football team. But once again, very proud of how this team finished, very proud of what they accomplished this season. Conference champions, 9 straight wins, and conference champions, 8 straight wins, I guess. 8 straight wins, and, you know, we're not going to let the Ohio game define how the season went. I'm very excited for Charles Kelly and this new coaching staff that we should hear more about the additional pieces as the days go by. I look to, you know, whether Luke Olsen is the defensive coordinator, we hold on to him or not. We'll have to see. I wouldn't imagine so. I would imagine Rick Trickett's probably going to be about the only piece from this year's coaching staff that gets held on to. We'll just it's a lot of waiting and seeing right now. Hopefully we get the ball rolling pretty quick, because it's before you know it, spring practice will be here, and then we'll be getting ready for kickoff against UCF in Orlando again. But nonetheless, exciting times without a doubt. Before we go to, I just want to say thank you to everyone who supported us through this first season. There's a lot of figuring out how things work. We've never done this before, but we've had a lot of fun doing it, and we've got a lot of really fun things planned. One of them we got confirmed today, actually, right before we got started recording. We got a lot of fun things planned for the off season. Like Drew said, giving out our awards and interviews and stuff like that. I think this thing's only going to get bigger, and it's because of you guys, our listeners, and we could not be more grateful for your support and your support in your ears. So, with that being said, we'll probably do one, what'd you say, in a couple weeks?
Yeah, probably the postseason episode here in about a week, and then after that, the uploads will get a little more sporadic, as far as you certainly will hear from us every single week. You'll hear from us, maybe twice a month. Just kind of depends on when the news is. And like I said, we do have some special stuff planned that Brooks talked about. So that'll kind of depend on other people's schedules and that kind of thing too. And like Brooks said, we're grateful for you guys listening to us. We know that it sounds a little bit unprofessional. that's because it is a little bit unprofessional, but we'll get better over time. And, I guess we have gotten better over time to this point, which we started from sounding extremely unprofessional to just unprofessional, maybe. So any step forward is good, I guess. But anyway, like we said, thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys in about a week, more than likely, and we'll have more information on all the fun stuff we've got then. But in the meantime, you can tweet at us who you want to win different awards as far as offensive, defensive, team MVP. I think I know the answer to some of those questions, but we're going to give them out anyway. And we'll do some fun awards, too, for some weird categories we come up with. But we're excited about that next. And again, we'll get on with the offseason and that kind of thing. But beyond that, we'll let you guys go, and we'll see you guys in about a week.
See y'all.